Hi, I'm Jen Suliafu, and I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. Life is an exciting game with many twists and turns. It gets really good when we begin to learn how it works and how to win. I believe that no matter where someone's life is at, we have the power to make radical shifts to create a life that truly honors us. I live for awakenings, so let's get to it, darlings. Okay, hello, loves. Welcome back. This past year has been so fascinating to watch unfold. It seems like we're split up into these different categories when it comes to things happening in the world. Some seem to be on social media all day, ranting with anger. Some are avoiding the world topics like the plague. We're seeing that as well. So they're on the complete other end. And then you have those people who are standing in courage, strength, and asking important questions that when things aren't making sense. They're speaking with truth, love, and light. And so today, I'm so honored to have this authentic convo with my two beautiful guests. They're a mom and daughter duo, owners of one of the top bakeries in the world, hosts of the podcast Cupcakes and Consciousness. So welcome Kelly Childs and Erin Weatherby. Hello, dears.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Okay, I'm so excited to talk to you two today. So, Kelly, first off, I've listened to several of your messages for both of you on your podcast, and you know, you were on the Vibrational Revelations, which was super cool to see that episode of you. I've also seen you on social media. And Kelly, I feel like I'm looking in a mirror when I listen to you, specifically when I hear your messages. There was a word that you used that I only have heard myself use with people I know, and it's the word wonky. I'm like, who else uses that word? I love it. I love that she says that word. And then Erin, my dear, we have she's almost 24-year-old daughter, and I feel like you just have such similar energy to her. And I was so inspired by watching the two of you and your relationship and your energy together. And then you said something else in your Vibrational Revelations that was so hilarious to me, Kelly, because you said to Erin that you feel like maybe she's been your mom in another life. And I have told Alex that before. I'm like, there's no question you've been my mom in another life.
Well, we can look at them that way, interchange the roles, right? I think that's it's a beautiful way to sort of zoom out in life and not take things so exactly the way that we're perceiving life to be. No, like, let's look at all the possibilities of our relationships.
I love it. And also not like, hey, I'm your mom and I'm the one that knows and I'm smart and you're a kid. There have been so many times where I've turned to Alex and been like, I don't know what to do here. So I need to call you in to help me out here.
Really? Yeah, I've done the same thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I think like working together as well too, it's that relationship has just gotten strengthened. And also I think like the lines have gotten blurred a little bit more, right? Of like, who's the mom, who's the daughter? We're business partners too. So there's extra layers on top of it all.
Yeah. Is that hard for you to call her Kelly?
Honestly, I just naturally, and I feel like I've done it a lot. Like even before we started working together, Mom, I feel like I've called you Kelly just a lot. Maybe it's just, again, because our lines have always just been so fluid and so blurred, I guess, but that I don't think we have a normal mom and daughter relationship. I see my mom as just a beautiful human being and obviously my best friend too, and just such an incredible woman and somebody I look up to. So a mom, she's an amazing mother, but I don't see her as that to me all the time.
I think that you use both. You use them interchangeably depending on the meetings and different things, like high level meeting, like, you know, you're not going to call me mom in front of people. Then it becomes kind of personal. It's like, then I know for sure I'm Kelly. Yeah. You know, you just kind of evolve and you get spoken to as to how you should be perceiving, or other people should be perceiving our relationship, you know? So it's been a fascinating dance that we've gone through, definitely. And when we met you, Jen, if you want to say that, like serendipitously through the Vibrational Revelations, I mean, it was so cool. I mean, I've been working with Alejandro for golly, like since November, and they did my numbers back in November. And then we had you know, persevered and persevered. And then when they did Aaron's numbers and I went, okay, great. I'm sure I'm never going to attain that level of enlightenment. Are you kidding me? Yeah. No, I'm joking. But you know, I really wanted to hire them on to do some coaching and stuff. So it was a great experience for me. And then that's when we met you then really, Jen, for the first time. I mean, obviously digitally online, and you witnessed Alejandro and Elena you know, revealing who we are. I'm going to say quite intimately too at that point, right? That we're going, yeah, oh my God, that's how Kelly thinks of her finances and health and, you know, all that stuff and personal growth and everything. And you know, I wanted to do that with them because it's kind of who I am more than Aaron is. I'm just an open book. I'm here to help people and share, you know, all my trials and tribulations, times I've fallen on my face, the times I dusted my knees back off again, but I got back up and persevered again. And I just believe that this is my inherent duty to the planet to help people from the things that I have faltered with and then grown from, because like, that's what we should all be doing for one another is how can we help one another ascend and become the greatest version of ourselves. And I don't want people to suffer the way that I did, you know, certain things that happened to me in my life. So I just feel very, very driven to create as much joy and passion for people.
Wow. I love that so much. What you're talking about, which a lot of people might be saying, what is she talking about? Vibrational revelations. I actually interviewed Alejandro and Elena for my podcast as well. If people don't understand what we're talking about, go back and watch that episode with them because you'll understand what that all means, which is so fascinating. I love their work so much. It's so cool. Yes. But I want you guys to tell us a little bit about your business and what you guys do.
So we are in the Great White North. So we're up in Canada. We're in Burlington, Ontario. So just about 40 minutes west of Toronto. And we have a gluten-free, vegan, peanut-free bake shop and called Kelly's Bake Shop. And we've been here for just the better part of almost 9 years now. And we have people drive from all over North America to come to our business. Obviously a little bit different now with COVID and borders being closed and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, we have people drive for, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, even cross the US coming into Canada borders for a dozen cupcakes and turning around and driving home. So we've created a pretty awesome brand that we're very proud of. And yeah, it's been a wild ride these past 9 years.
Wow. So how in the world, because I was looking at all of your amazing, yummy treats, how in the world are they all gluten and vegan? That is so awesome. I wish you guys lived close to me because we have a son with a dairy allergy and I would definitely come over to your place a lot. But, and how do you look like this is what I wonder. How is this happening? That's amazing.
We definitely eat our stuff all the time. Obviously some more than others, but we always say that we're the healthier option, right? So all of our cupcakes and brownies and cookies, they have garbanzo bean and fava bean flours as like the main flour bases. So they're, you know, really rich in fiber and protein. And we don't use a lot of starches or like rice flours and stuff that can be a little bit less nutrient dense. But yeah, everything's quite healthy for you. We put sweet potato purees in our products, you know, bananas and applesauces and like some really beautiful, wholesome, natural ingredients. And our customers love it.
I love that. Kelly, did you read The Sneaky Chef and then sneak that stuff into Aaron's food? Do you know what that is?
Well, I mean, for growing up, yes, Aaron was, she was my guinea pig. I've always lived a healthy lifestyle. My parents were like big advocates for that, you know, no white flour in the house, no white sugar in the house. We ate, I'm going to say as a kid, it was like really gross food because all of my friends were like, you know, eating their junk and chocolate chip cookies and Diet Coke, or not Diet Coke, rather Coca-Cola. Yeah. Diet Coke wasn't even out back then. So, you know, and I was like this, I call it a very deprived child because, you know, I was, you know, you're surrounded by it, but you're kind of exiled because you were this natural kid. But I think it really paid off. And when Erin, you know, was born then, you know, and growing up, she definitely was given, you know, the healthiest of healthiest. You'd open up our fridge door and it was like a rainbow colored of all the vegetables and stuff that were in the fridge. And her friends would go, so like, but what is there really to eat? They would come over after school and they would go, okay, so what is this stuff? And, you know, from almond milk to all that stuff, they just had no idea what it was. But, you know, there was times too, I had them cooking in the kitchen and stuff with me. And doing sleepovers and stuff, and they had to eat something. So, you know, we were able to, you know, give them the gift of some very healthy and just learning about organic foods and organic salads and stuff. And for me, it was like a gift that I could give to the kids. I'm sure that there was some really cool seeds planted in their childhood from us, from coming to the Kelly and Aaron household.
I love that. That's so important for kids to learn about what's in their food and to learn how to cook. I have 4 kids. What I say is before every one of them leave the nest, they need to know how to cook and bake and prepare food. And they need to know how to read labels and look at what's in their food. I actually, we're going to get into more of the stuff that's happening in the world. Because of all of this, we started homeschooling. So our kids are home with us. And part of our homeschooling is really, really teaching them about food. Like the other day we went to the grocery store and I had them reading labels of like, which one is a better option? Out of these two, which one's a better option? And really thinking about what are we putting into our bodies? So that's why to me, when I see your yummy, delicious food, I'm all about those food swaps because, you know, if you're trying to be too far over on one side where you're like, no sugar, no, you know, sweets, then that's not fun. That's not ideal. But when you can make a delicious, amazing treat that is a better, healthier option for you, I love it. I'm buying your cookbook immediately after this.
Awesome. Awesome. So cool. Yeah. And then we're just going to have to open up a location in Utah as well.
Yeah. Come on. Come on, ladies.
Be a good state to be in for sure.
I know. I was going to say you might want to move on over here right now. We'll talk more about that. But another thing I noticed, so I love your cupcakes and consciousness. I love that together where you're like, you're talking about things that really matter, but it's also fun. To me, that's what the two of you embody is talking about things that matter, having a strong, powerful message, but also enjoying life and having fun and beaming light. I know you were a single mom for a while, Kelly, which that's another thing I can relate to you on. I was a single mom for 6 years. And I love, you know, during your interview, you talked about how you were looking for validation outside of yourself, looking for that love, you know? And then Aaron, you're a pillar of love for your mama. Yeah. I work with a lot of single moms, and I want to just hear some of your wisdom. Like, what did you learn during your journey when you were looking for love? What do you feel like was so important for you to learn on your journey when you were looking for that validation outside of yourself?
That's a good question. There were a lot of, I call it the dark night of the souls. I was giving myself away to, you know, wrong relationships and the wrong validation. And things even today that, you know, I have journals, like I literally have, I'm going to say 4 legal size, you know, boxes of all of my journals I've kept for Aaron. I know is going to think I'm nuts, but because I've never revisited them again, but I'm sure I could write a whole memoir about all these things. But the deep knowing that you are love and the deep knowing that you are one with the universe and with God and, you know, whatever heavenly divine body that you want to call it. I had separated from that. And, you know, through that, when Aaron was 5 years old, when my father had dropped dead very suddenly, and Aaron was actually with him when it happened. And that was a big turning point for me. That was like the wake up call that I needed, but I still didn't know that I needed it yet. But that was the catalyst for me not to have this guy in my life that was, you know, that I needed to always connect with. Like he was always like the person who would never acknowledge me. And, you know, it was very hard to get any kind of praise from him. And then when he passed away so suddenly without a chance to do any closure or, you know, anything, right? He passed away of a brain aneurysm and that was it. That I just never got to resolve anything with him. So then I still then decided to resolve my shit, I call it, with other guys, until I realized that the only connection that was important was the one that was within me. And that was with, you know, the book, Marianne Williamson, A Return to Love. It was other books too that I journeyed through. But the message that Marianne Williamson gave to me was so strong, and it was an enlightened moment for me. And that's when I realized that there was going to be no man ever that was going to complete me. That was where I needed to be. I didn't need a man to help me raise Aaron. Aaron was a year and a half old when I split from her dad. And consequently, I didn't even remarry till you were 16, Aaron? So it was a long time that I was, on my own. But we've been led to believe that we need to have a guy to help us. And be it if it's, hanging a picture on a wall to, furniture shopping or, helping take the garbage out. No, I can do all of that. I've got my own drills. I've got my own toolboxes. I've got all this stuff. And you know what I found is that owning a toolbox is such a freaking girl boss thing. Even if you don't even use it, you actually feel so good because you got a toolbox in the house and you don't need a guy with his tools. Like I love that, And I sort of surrounded myself with things that were just always the reminders that I've got this and I didn't need anybody else. I mean, I've done so much work, guys. So, I mean, I've even done ayahuasca. You name it. We can have several conversations about this. But I believe that my commitment to my personal growth far outweighed anything else on the planet. No money, no man, no nothing. It was my commitment to personal growth that just helped me become who I am now today. And I guess I call myself a slow learner. I'm 57. I feel like now in this stage of my life that in this past year, 2 years, I've just gone like even through the roof, even more so. And I liken myself to think that I could be, with years to come, if I keep on being on this path and if anybody would have me, is that I could be this elder of the village that women would come to and kids would come to learn about life. It's in that moment of vulnerability, of just surrendering to all that is, just surrendering to a power that's greater than you, is where the answers lie.
Oh my gosh, I love that. You nailed it when you said, which I know that's your truth, but that's what I always say to people, is the very best thing you can do for your children and for anybody that loves you, is to heal yourself and to start to embrace and love yourself. And so I love that you were saying, I don't need anybody outside of me. And that's a hard lesson to learn. I have spent many, many years doing the same thing, looking for validation, like who can validate me outside of myself? And there were so many things. I remember one time, one of my very wise mentors looked at me and she said, how is your husband like your father? And I was like, well, they're nothing alike. And she was like, just looked at me like, try again, keep going. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. And we really do. Many times we come together with partners to help us heal from our wounds from, our childhood. And because we start as a young girl wanting that validation from our dad specifically, And so I love that you mentioned that because that's so powerful. So true.
I really so believe that it's just being open to that. Like what you experienced, Jen, with your work is that someone brought it up to you, how is your husband and your father similar? But without her saying that, right? So a lot of people would say, forget it. There's no way. They would just be so opposed to it. But it's so important to be open and fluid to all the messages that come to us because all these people are coming into our lives for a reason. There's no coincidences. There's no coincidences. As our soul incarnate, we actually chose the mother, father, husbands. And I say husbands, you might have 1, 2, 3, 4, who knows, your kids, all these souls, you have all decided to say, yeah, here's our soul contract, man. We're signing up for this. We are in this together. And I know this with Aaron and I. Mm-hmm. I know this with my husband. I know this with Aaron's husband. Mm-hmm. I know this with my ex-husband, Aaron's father, like all of it. My mother still drives me mental, and I'm like, what the hell is that trigger that she keeps on giving me at 57? And she's like going on 86 and she's just such a rock star, but just little things and they wear on you and going, okay, here's a lesson for me again. And it's coming out again. Right. And sit with it again. But it's being in that open space of no judgment because you block yourself off from the connection with that person you're meant to get that lesson from when you sit there and decide to judge them, because all you're doing is judging yourself.
That's so good. Yeah. Soul contracts. Those to me were the most profound piece of healing to me. and forgiveness, really. Once you can start to understand soul contracts, you can start to really thank those people that have shown up in your life. I remember the day I was driving down the freeway and that piece of the puzzle dropped down and settled within me. Of all of a sudden, I was really, really grateful to my ex-husband for all of it. Any pain or any sadness or any traumatic things that happened in our divorce and all of that, it was like all of a sudden that like settled in and it was like, thank you. Thank you so much for showing up and fulfilling that soul contract, because that had to have been so hard. Because when we really drop the outfit of life and like the facade of life, you know, all of these souls truly do love each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we just built these shells. We just built this human vessel, right? That decides to, you know, oh, let's bury this pain body in here and this pain body in here. And oh, this person, you know, screwed me over when I was 4 years old and, you know, stole my lunch, you know, or whatever it is, you know, hang on to that one, hang on to that one. Before you know it, you're seeing the world through the perception of these eyes that have all been shaped before you were like 5 years old. So, you know, you're like, before you know it, you're 50 and you're still looking at the world as a 5 year old. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, who was so great for us, Aaron, was Joe Dispenza, right? When we spent that week with him. You can talk about that, because that was like so cool what we learned there.
Yeah, he was amazing. So yeah, if you don't know about Joe Dispenza, he's an amazing, amazing teacher and scientist. And he's been studying, how you can basically co-create your future by thought alone. It was a very inspiring week. We did a whole intensive week with him, and we were meditating for 8, 10, 12 hours a day sometimes. And it was the most powerful connection. There was about 1500 people that were there at the conference as well. And by the end of the week, it's like, we all felt like we were just floating, like this beautiful energy and just being able to manifest and to co-create your future and where you want to be, and actually telling yourself, you know, I have this already. I travel here every year. I do this. I have this family. I have, you know, this successful business, and already telling yourself that to make it a reality, and getting rid of all of those, you know, hard shells and stuff like Kelly's talking about, the hard shell that you've built up over the years. It's amazing.
Yeah. He talks about how you have to break the habit of being yourself, right? Those habits that we get those stories and they're so conditioned, interrupting that and breaking that habit can be really, really hard, but it's pretty simple, but not easy. It's definitely not easy. Okay. So the longer I'm on the planet, the more I realize I have this, you know, activist heart. So I'm the youngest of 9 kids. Okay. I know when I said I had 4 kids, you were both like, whoa, 4 kids. And I was like, I live in Utah, right? There's a lot of kids here. But I'm the youngest of 9 children, and I was labeled the peacemaker. And I thought, oh, that's a great label. I always loved being the peacemaker. I didn't make any waves. You know, I was always a pleasure to be around for my parents. But the older I got, the more I realized that isn't necessarily the title that I really am. Actually, the peacemaker for me was, hey, what does this person need from me? And I'll be that. And what does this person need from me to like not make any waves? And I'll be that. And the older I've gotten, or the more mature I've gotten, the more I've realized that I actually have my own opinion, and I actually am strong enough to speak out, and I'm not just going along with what everybody else says.
Kelly is laughing at me because she's like, Jen is like, me and you, Jen, are so similar, like so similar. Kelly's killing herself laughing right now because everything that's coming out of your mouth has been me growing up. And that's something that I am really, really working on now too. I feel that so wholeheartedly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love it.
Aaron has been that pleaser. When you're that pleaser, you guys both know this now, that you become expendable. Your own feelings, your own emotions, your own heart, your own passion, your own connection to your soul, who you are, you wrote that off. You allowed the other people's feelings and their reactions to you and the world around you to be more important than your own heart.
But isn't it a beautiful day when you start to shed that and you start to actually come in line with your power and your own strength. So for me, layer by layer, of course, and you know what? I actually think that it was right around age 30. I know that you just turned 31, right? So I'm now 45, and which Kelly, by the way, wow, girl, are you kidding? You're 50. You said 57? I don't believe it. I want to see your driver's license, girl. I don't believe it. But right around age 30, I started to like really shed these different, well, actually, no, 24 was a big part for me because I left the belief system that I was raised in. That was a big, big part for me. I left the religion I was raised in. I walked out of it and I started really searching for my own beliefs. And instead of just kind of going along with what I was taught, and that was big, really, really big for me, having such a big family that all had, you know, the same belief system. But then as I went further into life, there were layers by layers that I uncovered. I ended up in the pharmaceutical world, and that's what my career was in. And it was a very eye-opening experience for me. I also stepped foot in the media as well. That's what I got my degree in. Those two areas really prepared me for 2020. And what is unfolding. But as I started really studying medication and I was able to read what was in our pharmaceuticals, I uncovered a lot of things. And at that point, my mama bear within me rose up and I got a lot braver about having my own opinion with things. But right now, I want to talk about, you know, what's going on in the world. I want to shift the energy here. We'll go more into, you know, what's happening on planet Earth. Recently on social media, you two have had a lot of stuff that has happened there. You're in Canada. So I want you to kind of share with us on what's happening with you guys and what your experience has been. But recently on social media, I think I'm just over like avoiding the elephant in the room and I don't have patience. I'm not going to get on social media and fight with people. That's not what I'm doing. Because like I said, we've got these different areas that people are at. People are wanting to fight and be angry and, you know, bicker at each other. Then you've got people that are avoiding everything. And I feel like for me, you know, I'm like, okay, no, I'm here. I'm going to speak my truth, but I'm not going to argue with people. And I'm also not going to avoid the elephant in the room. So let's talk about the elephant in the room, ladies.
Beautiful. Talk about this COVID pandemic thing going on in the world, but where we are, like our physical location, our province of Ontario that we live in, we have about 15 million people that live in the province of Ontario. So we're the biggest province in Canada. And we just went into another full lockdown at the beginning of April. So that full lockdown being, you know, you can't go to anybody's homes, you can't gather indoors, outdoors, restaurants, bars, retail, a lot of retail is closed except for Costco and Walmart. You know, those big box stores are totally cool to still stay open and pack the people in there. Our border is still closed to the States. So that border is closed. I believe a lot of our, like, you know, borders to international travel as well are closed. It feels like we're literally living in the Twilight Zone because we wake up here every day and gratefully so, our business, Kelly's Bake Shop, is still open. We're open for takeout and curbside and, you know, walk-ins and all that stuff, just no indoor seating at the time. But it feels like we're living in the Twilight Zone because we hear from someone like yourself and tons of friends that we have all across the States, from New Jersey, New York, you know, Florida, Texas, Arizona, everywhere across, that is like, yeah, no, life is pretty normal here. There's nothing really weird going on here. There's no lockdown. So to us, it's like, what is happening to the province of Ontario and to Canada as a whole right now? So that's the kind of setup to what's been going on. And just to add a little bit more, so Toronto, our biggest city in Canada, has been under full lockdown since November. So, you know, salons, nail salons, hair salons, gyms, all that stuff, restaurants, bars, everything have been fully closed since November. So I think, what's the stat, Mom? There's about 250,000 small businesses that have closed in Canada for good now.
And 600,000 people that were employed are now, they're just new to the unemployment line. Quebec, the province of Quebec, which is beside us, and we've got Ontario and then Quebec is beside us. And Quebec is under curfew still. And you are not allowed to be walking the streets after 8 p.m.
There's been massive, sorry, I'm just going to add one second. There's been massive actual, you know, riots and protests in Montreal and in Quebec City as well, too, with this curfew, because people are saying, like, no, show me the proof, first of all, that this virus spreads, you know, after the hours of 8 p.m. And, you know, why are you controlling the times that I can actually leave my home? You know, people can only leave their home to go and walk their dog after 8 p.m. Like, it's on another level in the province of Quebec, but Ontario is pretty crazy right now, too.
Our constitution is no longer existent. There are some police that are being good and there's some police that are being bad. Mm-hmm. And that's their journey. And what's ever going to happen to that? I'm just going to be honest. And, you know, how we roll is that this is crimes against humanity now, because for us to have demanded the proof, like what is the scientific proof of masking 6 feet apart from each other, lockdowns, no weddings, no funerals. But of course, Walmart can stay open and, you know, Costco can stay open. And oh, the Amazon distribution centers that have like a couple thousand people working in the Amazon distribution centers. So all of these very high level corporations are now having record quarters of sales, like just record. They're making billions upon billions of dollars, Jeff Bezos and the Walmart family. And so, you know, there's a point in time where, you know, we have to use our own common sense and take a look at what this potential cure that we're trying to do for this pandemic, you know, does it outweigh the actual case itself? Because the cases are so blown out of proportion because we're using this PCR test too, that is, you know, questionable. And again, we're not here to say, you know, that we're living like truth. We're just sharing what we're witnessing right now, that the PCR test is being questioned and it's being questioned to a certain level, and then it gets to a certain level within the health offices and the health departments of the province of Ontario or the federal government, and it gets ignored. And because these are the things that we need to be able to prove, and we need the proof from massive governing bodies that are unelected, the health officials, all of them are unelected. And to say, you know, so if you're using the PCR test, can you give us the cycle thresholds? Like, you know, because Ontario is famous for doing them around 38 to 45 cycle thresholds. And if you do this PCR test with the cycle thresholds, it circulates enough times that it's going to pick up the genome of other coronaviruses and it's giving false positives. And so this is what's happened, is that this whole fear campaign is based on cases, not on deaths. And now we actually have to pay attention to, and this is what we're demanding the information for, is suicide rate. Let's talk about that. The suicide rate, the bankruptcies, the small businesses that will never be able to reopen again, the mental health issues of kids. We had a mayor the other day that was tried to close down a skate park for kids and shut down the playgrounds, put the tape around the playgrounds. And these kids are going like, we have nothing left now. So the number one cause of death for children between the ages of 10 and 14 in Canada now is suicide. And that is, to me, worth fighting for. That is worth fighting for, to get the truth out of this and to shut this thing down.
It's beyond devastating. And I just think that, you know, like what you're saying, Mom, it's the cure can't outweigh, you know, the virus. And of course, you know, people have died and that's not okay. Like, absolutely, one person dying is way too much. But let's do it in a way that makes sense for our country, for our world, for our economy, for everybody's mental health and physical health too. And it's just not really making sense anymore.
You talk about the PCR tests, and I have heard that even the guy that came up with the PCR test, that invented it, he was like, wait, why are you using this? This is not an accurate test to use for this. There's, of course, so many different factors here that I want people to be saying, hey, wait, what? I definitely feel like we're being punked. And at some point, you know, it's like, at what point do we say, wait, oh, I'm paying attention here. And what is this? What's really going on here? There's so many different factors. But, you know, when it comes to children are my soft spot. They are, you know, I'm really looking at first of all, what I do on a daily basis is I do coaching, and I coach people through the hard things in their life. I coach them when they're in a really hard spot, or sometimes when people are in a great spot and they just want to improve their life. But I have had an influx of children and men lately that have come to me over the past year. One thing that I'm really asking myself and asking other people to think about is, you know, first of all, where's our faith? Because before all of this happened, there were people that would say, oh, I know, I believe in the divine creator. I believe that, you know, when it's my time to go, it's my time to go. I believe that we're being looked after. I believe in things happening for a reason. And now all of a sudden it's like, all the faith is thrown out the window, and they've just got this influx of fear coming into their home, into their awareness. And I say, turn off the freaking TV, right? I know it's scary for adults. I know that. But if you have children, it's like, you got to get a grip. You got to get a grip, parents, because you've got these small children looking to you. I remember when I was in sixth grade, this really, really has stood out to me over this experience. And my father, he got really, really sick, and he ended up in intensive care unit at the hospital. And I remember as a sixth grader going in, and it was terrifying for me. And I had to gown up and put all this stuff on. And my dad was, you know, he could barely move. He had all of these tubes in him. And I remember looking at my mom like, okay, how is my mom acting? Is she afraid? Because if she's afraid, I'm going to really be bugging out, right? But my mom was so calm, and she was like, it's okay, honey. Dad's going to be fine. And watching her, I was like, this is going to be okay. And my dad had many health issues. Well, he's still alive and making life happen. He's almost 90. But throughout his life, throughout all of his health issues, I always looked to my mom. She was the beacon of like, do I need to bug out here? Do I need to worry? Because if so, mom will show me. And she always held this strength about her when he was having his different health issues. Like, it will always be okay. Everything's okay. And I feel like that's really what we need to do right now. All these parents are so afraid, and it's really, really affecting these children. When they did open schools back up for us right off the bat, but when I looked at what they were going to be doing, I was like, oh, hell no, we're not doing that, because they have all these plastic dividers and these masks all day. And I just couldn't bear the thought of my babies being in that all day long. And also, not only from a health aspect, what that's doing as far as these kids needing to wear these all day long, but for the fear aspect, the psychological aspect for these kids.
It's tragic. And that's, you know, with us opening up Kelly's Bake Shop, you know, we have such love for children. And that's been my joy and Aaron's joy too. Every single day when, you know, a kid comes in and they go, oh, you know, I've got, you know, celiac disease, or they got an egg allergy or a milk allergy or whatever, you know, like, we're just this all-inclusive, you know, loving, just a love inspirational business. And it's just how we've rolled for 9 years. And now this is like fingernails on a chalkboard to me with what's happening to the kids. It's so abhorrent. It's just so wrong. And like you said earlier about getting punked, it really does feel like, okay, so are they going to jump out from behind the bushes and say, oh, just joking, you know, like, is this what this has been all along? That like, it's been the greatest joke, if you want to call it, played on the planet, because we're all experiencing it in varying degrees of this fear campaign. The kids are just being destroyed. And when I even have talked about it, I've actually had people troll me and attack me when I try to defend the children. And they say, my child doesn't mind going to school with a mask on. My kid is this, my kid. I said, great. You know, if that's the case, then you do you. And I say to my little prayer for their child, you know, in a way, because I want everyone to live their best life, whatever it means. So I'm not here to shame parents, and we're not here to shame them or anything. We're just here to alert you to the possibility that your children, when they go down this path, there will be permanent damage to their psyche and their mental well-being. So much so, you know, that they're going to end up maybe even harming themselves.
Yeah, you think about it, this generation of children that are in, you know, elementary school right now and high school, they are going to be the next generation coming into this world. And this is what they are experiencing right now. So how are we setting them up right now as our generations to be the leaders of this world? Like, that part of it scares me too. It's like, what are these lasting effects going to be on these children that think that they shouldn't be touching each other? They shouldn't be socializing. They shouldn't be hugging. They shouldn't be, you know, doing kid things. And that's where I am like, oh my gosh, like, think about this in 10, 15, 20 years down the road now, after all these children have been doing what they've been doing for the past 14 months. Like, that's massive. Like, that impact is going to be huge as well. So
I would like to say this, and if anybody's, you know, listening still wanting to hear this stuff that we're talking about, we need to ask ourselves why. Mm-hmm. And this is the biggest question. This is what got me going, is just the why question. And why would there be a global agenda to do this to the whole planet collectively with a flu virus that has a 99.998% chance of survival in it? We've never done this with Ebola, never done this with AIDS. We haven't done it with tuberculosis. We haven't done it with the flu. We haven't done it with pneumonia. We haven't operated this way. And there's more deaths from the flu every year guaranteed. Why? And we're not here to answer the question, but there's just to infuse the question into you and do the research and ask yourselves why. And is it part of the World Economic Forum? Is it, you know, Agenda 2030, I've heard? There's all these things that are coming out into my consciousness now, into my realm of things to do my own research. And this is where the answers are coming. And that's all I can say, is that this is not about COVID. It's about control.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great question for people to be asking. I definitely feel like we need to be asking questions right now. You know, at some point when things aren't lining up and they're not making sense, you know, we've got to be strong. And on the bigger perspective of this, we all signed up to be here at this time, including the children. They knew they were coming into the planet during this massive time in the world, in history. I believe that we are definitely, on one hand, it's like, oh, I'm really grateful for all of this. I'm really grateful for COVID and everything that's happened, because we are now paying attention to things on a deeper level. And I think that this was meant to be. It was meant to happen for us to get off our hamster wheel and stop ignoring everything in life and really see each other on a deeper level. But I think that we need to look past the narrative that's being fed to us. We need to look deeper into it. So Erin, my dear, what is your message to the world? If you can say anything to people, what would you tell them right now?
Something that we always say at Kelly's Bake Shop, and more now, is just love each other. Just really, really love each other. Love people that don't believe the same things you do. Love people that do believe the same things you do. And just really be there for each other right now, because that's what we need, is more connection and more kindness in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Okay, Kelly, my dear, what is your message to the world?
I'm going to say that it's so important to sit with the truth of who you are and the truth of what you want the world to look like. The power of manifestation, and as Erin had mentioned earlier too, what we learned with Joe Dispenza is manifesting and co-creating the life that we really want to see. The more that we're staying in a fear mindset is going to keep us small, and it's going to keep our planet exactly where it is. And I know none of us want to live that way. So we have to manifest and be centered with this heart-brain coherence of love, and visualize the world that you want to be a part of. And how can you serve that dream?
Beautiful. Yes, absolutely. You are such beautiful, beautiful souls. Thank you so much for being here. Can you tell people how they can find you?
Yes, for sure. So you can visit our website, kellysxo.com. You can find our bake shop online. It's at Kelly's Bake. And Kelly on Instagram is at KellyChildsXO. And I am at Erin Weatherby. And Erin is with two N's. Nice and simple.
And people can order your cookbook on your website.
They can, yes.
Awesome. Yay. Okay. Thank you so much for shining your light. And everyone, thank you for being here with us today. And do what Erin and Kelly said, you know, love more and manifest. See the world you want to see. Absolutely. Do you have a coach? I would love to take this journey with you to dive deep and start to shift those areas to create a life that truly honors you. I'll meet you on that bridge at whatever level you are ready, with either group or one-on-one coaching. You can check out my programs at jensuliafu.com/programs. Also, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and rate and review this show and give me your feedback. Also, please share this with your friends and family and be a lighthouse out in the world. Thanks for joining me.